Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are here. We are live on the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. If you are listening to me right now, if you're hearing my voice right now, you are blessed. And no, it's not because of my voice. But if you're listening to me and if you're hearing my voice right now, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living in Jesus' name. And that is a reason to give God praise. Welcome to the show on today. This is the show to get your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. I thank God. It is a beautiful, beautiful Saturday here in Indianapolis. And wherever you are listening to me at, I hope it's a beautiful Saturday for you where you are in Jesus' name. Today, we have a phenomenal, phenomenal topic. You listened last night. You listened last night to Every Man Standing in His Own Place. You heard Bishop Carver and myself talking about power and purpose on last night. And the Lord told me on last night while we were on the air to do this topic today here on the summit. And today that's what we're going to do. Except the only difference is this has been titled a little bit different. Still talking about purpose, and we're still talking about the power and purpose. But the Lord wanted me to title this Being Purposed by Design. That's right, Purpose by Design. And on today, we're going to look at God's purpose for our life. And we're also going to look at how God's power gets us to the purpose that God has. And we're also going to look at whose purpose should we follow. Uh-oh. You might say, well, whose purpose should we follow? You just said God's purpose. There's several purposes out there. There's God's purpose. There's our purpose. And there's the enemy's purpose. There's the world's purpose for our life. Basically, in short, agenda. Your agenda, God's agenda, the world's agenda, and the devil's agenda. There's four agendas. Which one will you follow? Three of those agendas should be obsolete out of our life. Three of those agendas. And I think you know what three they are. Ours, the devil's, and the world's. But we're going to look into it. Amen. And I also have a special guest on today. Bishop Carver is gonna be on with us in Jesus' name to give his feedback and his support of this topic on today. Amen. Bishop Carver.
Amen.
Thank God. I want to say this before we get started. I'm gonna thank God for you, man of God, for teaching last night on power and purpose, because this is what we need. And before we even get started, I want you to give some feedback on a little bit on what we covered on last night, just to open this thing up here. So you go ahead and give us a little nugget on what
we discussed on last night?
Well, I think one of the main things that came from last night's discussion is how God prepares our table in the presence of our enemy, and how we have to get to the point where we are no longer being trapped into looking for the easy way out, understanding that there is no easy way, because we are getting glory for God. And when you're getting glory for God, you have to tap into that unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within you and stop trying to dumb down the Holy Spirit in order to make things easy. Things are not easy because your assignments are increasing. We're going from grace to grace and faith to faith, and that requires greater faith than your last assignment and greater grace than the last assignment. And we have to prepare ourselves for that by pleasing God, serving God, trusting God, and obeying God. And when we do that, then we are doing what God is asking us to do. So I think that's a pretty good basis to kind of sum up what we did last night.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop. Last night, it ministered to me, because the one thing that God showed, that God tries to show everybody, not just me, not just you, but everybody, is that he has a designed purpose for our life.
Amen.
And even though God has a designed purpose for our life, he had the designed purpose designed for mankind way back in the book of Genesis. Our purpose, or God's purpose for our life, is for us to be blessed both spiritually and naturally. More spiritually than naturally, but naturally as well, because the Bible does declare that he knows what we have need of. The Bible also says that we are pilgrims passing through this present world. He knows that we need to be taken care of while we're down here. The Bible says, occupy until he comes. So the Lord's not, and when I say this, the Lord is not, and I'm not trying to use any words that will, you know, dishonor the Lord. But he's not crazy enough to just think, okay, I'm just trying to get them on a spirit. I'm just trying to help them on a spiritual. Because I know that they have to live here on earth until I come. So he tries to get us ready spiritually first, to get us ready for the natural. And a whole lot of people, when they seek God, we seek God for more natural stuff than spiritual things. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, this is where God shows that he has a purpose for us, okay, and what his purpose for our life will do, and what we'll say about God's purpose if we choose to follow him in the purpose that he has for our life. And it reads, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called, according to his purpose. Now, I want to break this verse down, because I'm going to get deep into this. Amen. It says, and we know. It's not we think we know. Oh, it might be. It's not a might. It's no doubt that we know. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. If we walk in the purpose of God, we will know that all things work together, no matter good, bad, ugly, or indifferent.
Preach.
No matter what happens, as long as we are in the promise of God, the purpose and the promise of God, we will we will be able to say all things work together. All things work together. And it's, this started way back in Genesis. Because when man was created, even before man was created, the purpose of God was for man to live naturally and spiritually in a blessed way. That's why he put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, let's go to Genesis just to show you. Genesis chapter number 2, and we're going to start at verse number 7. The first blessing that man got was in verse number 7 of Genesis, of the chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The first blessing that man ever got, I'm going to show you. This was the start of man receiving blessings from God. Amen. Genesis chapter Amen. 2, verse number 7. This is the start of God's purpose for our life. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, it reads, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath life, and man became a living soul. You might say, well, Minister Adam, it doesn't talk about blessings in there. Yes, it does. When you read, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that was a blessing. And man became a living soul. That was the start of God's purpose for mankind, to live. To live. He wants you to live life. He wants us to live life in him. He put us, and then in verse number 15, and I'm going to read it, verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now watch this. That was God's purpose, for man to have an abundancy of life, to be able to have what they need. Amen. When he put them in the garden, he put them in a place where they needed to be. When he put Adam in the garden, he put him in a place where they needed to be. Purpose by design. He designed man's purpose already before man was even created. This was the power of God being shown in humankind's life, in mankind's life. This was the power. He created man. He put man in a place where man could live, where man could live a prosperous life, both spiritually and naturally. This is the thing that God had for us. This was the promise. This was the purpose that God had for us. Now watch this. Verse number 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. This was a blessing within itself. You may not believe it, but it was. God warned man before man even did what he did. He warned him. This warning was a blessing, but man didn't take heed to it. And so the purpose that God had for our life, the purpose that God had for our life was when Adam ate of that forbidden fruit or ate from that tree, mankind died then. Now, did Adam physically die right then and there? No, he didn't. He didn't physically die right then and there, but physical death came upon him. And he spiritually died because Adam was the man that brought sin into the world. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 just to show you what I'm talking about. I'm going to break this down. Purpose by design. It was God's purpose for us to live a blessed life. But we want to take the shortcut, as Bishop Carver said earlier, what we talked about last night. Man chooses to take shortcuts to try to get to the promise that life has to offer. Man chooses to take shortcuts. Adam took a shortcut, even though Adam shouldn't have taken the shortcut. And now, since Adam took the shortcut, all through the generations of mankind have followed suit, trying to take shortcuts. We see it all through the Bible. They try to use sin to take their shortcut. They try to do this to take a shortcut. Even in today's generation, man is using shortcuts to try to seek out peace, try to seek out happiness, try to seek out wealth, try to seek out whatever it might be. But you cannot take the shortcut to get to where God wants you to be.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, because I'm going to show you Romans chapter 5 starting at verse 12. Amen.
Amen.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This was the reason why sin and death came into the world. The Lord warned mankind, hey, look, mankind, look, if you eat of it, and then when I say mankind, I'm talking about Adam, because Adam was the start of mankind. So when he said, man, if you eat of this, he was talking to mankind in general. If you eat of the sinful nature of your life, you're going to surely die. Purpose by design. If you partake in the sins of the world, if you partake in the things of the world, you shall surely die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Have y'all noticed that everything that the world offers, now I ain't going to say everything, but mostly everything that the world offers, the end of it is death. But everything that God offers, it gives life. It brings life. It brings healing. It brings peace. It brings joy. It brings understanding of his word. It brings understanding. It brings clarity of what he wants us to do. That's the power of God, to get to the purpose that God has for us. Now I'm gonna open this up. I got some more, but I'm trying to open the spiritual eyes of the saints and sinners alike, because we got people in the church that are just walking around like a chicken with their head cut off because they wondering why their life ain't going the way it's supposed to go. And they taking
Amen.
Shortcuts. They taking
Amen.
Shortcuts. They Amen. Walking away from God because God ain't moved the way we think he should move.
Right?
We said it last night. We said this last night. Our ways are not God's ways. Neither, he is not going to move the way, and I'm going to use this as an example. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to use this as an example. He is not going to move the way you think he should move. I'm going to tell you that now. If you think that the Lord should go right, he's going to go left. If you think he should go left, the Lord's going to go right every time. I'm going to tell you why. Because there are people in this world, and I'm going to use the coming of the Lord as an example. There are people that have tried to predict the coming of the Lord. They said that he was going to come back in my generation when I was young, the first time I heard of it was the year 2000, the new millennium,
Great.
That he was going to come back in the year 2000. I was right in church on New Year's Eve of 1999. I was in church. And obviously whoever said the Lord was coming back in 2000 lied because I'm still here.
Amen.
So, and I was saved at the time. So I'm still here. We're all still here. My pastor said it like this. The way you think God's going to move is not the way God moves. If they predicted that the Lord was going to come back in 2000, he was either going to come back before 2000 or after 2000. He's not going to come back the year 2000. January 1st, he ain't coming back that day. He either going to come back before or after. That's the way God moves. That's the way God moves. I'm just using this as an example. The way he prepares our life, the way he puts purpose in our life, he's not going to move the way we think he should move. He's not going to move the way we would move. Why? Because with the way we move as mankind, sometimes the way we move gets us in a world of trouble. We just read it. Adam moved. When I say this, this is no shot at women when I say this. He listened to his wife at the wrong time. He listened to, and I ain't even going to just say his wife. He listened to somebody, even though we know it's his wife, at the wrong time. And he moved at the wrong time. He did the wrong thing at the wrong time, and it cost him everything. Not only did it cost him, but it cost mankind everything. It cost our spiritual life to be separate from God. The purpose that God has for us, Adam ruined it for mankind. And we were set for death, purpose by design. But God set up, he already knew that Adam was going to do it. That's why it was purpose by design. That's why in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Why? Because of sin. He had to die. Watch this. Let's go to Isaiah. Because watch. Look what sin will do. If you don't think sin will separate you from God and the purpose that God has for your life, watch this. Let's go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Verses 1 and 2. And Bishop Carver, I'm going to get you back in here, man of God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Now watch this. I really want you to see this.
Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But," now this is verse 2, "but your iniquity have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." What this is telling us is that he's ready to hear your request. He's ready to move his hand over your life. He's ready to put you in the purpose that he has for you. He's ready to use his power to put you in the purpose that he has for you. But it's because of the sin that has separated us. It is the sin that has separated us from God's purpose. That's why man now cannot always stay, even though if they're in Christ, they can. But if they're outside of the will of God, they cannot say all things work together. They can't say that because they're not in the purpose of God. That's why I said there are four different purposes in this world today. There's God's purpose, there's our purpose, there's the devil's purpose, and there's the world's purpose for our life. And what I mean by purpose is agenda. And we should not let man, we should not let the world, we should not even let our own purpose dictate God's purpose for our life. This was purpose by design. God designed, already had your purpose designed for your life. He already had it designed by his power. He already designed the purpose for your life. But it is up to us. It is up to us. It is up to us to go to him. Bishop Carver, I want you to get in on this because I want you to get in on this. Come on in here and say what's on your heart. Say what God is giving you to say on this topic today.
Man of God, I'm going to tell you that I'm only going to reaffirm what you said, because what you're saying, what the Spirit is saying through you right now is serious business. And what people have to begin to understand is that God is literally speaking to us now and telling us there are no shortcuts. And when
right.
you talk about our purpose and our design, what we were discussing last night to the men is to understand that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and that purpose
right.
is by God's design, and we have to come into agreement with that, and we have to resist that human temptation to take
right.
a shortcut, because the
right.
shortcut is what leads us into our purpose or the devil's purpose or the world's purpose, and our purpose and the devil's purpose and the world's purpose usually results in, well, always results in us becoming slaves. We become less
right.
than what God designed us to be. And that's the
right.
problem that Adam and Eve ended up in. And Adam's
right.
problem was that, you know, God had given him the best of everything. God designed the best and gave him dominion over all of it. Adam
right.
had dominion over everything. And yet he was able to be convinced. Actually, Eve was able to be convinced that there was more available, that God was holding out on him. And he convinced Adam, and Adam believed the lie that said there's more available. You can be like God. This is not everything, right? And that's
right.
what the world is telling us. Now, if we go back to the beginning, like you said, right, in Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, then God let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, think about that. He gave us dominion over everything, and it still wasn't enough.
Well,
and we had the death to everyone, right? We're living in something after the flood. We're living in the scraps of what they were dealing with. And the devil's still able to pull the same wool over our eyes, that there's more available. So look at what it says. God said, it says, so God created man in his own image. What's the image of God? Spirit. God is spirit. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them.
Right.
So we were created as spirit, male and female, before. Now look at what it says. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, when you started the teaching today, you explained how before, it's like all of these things happen first, spiritually. We were created, right? But then when you go down to, when you go down to verse 2, right? When you go down to verse 2, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested work, which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. And in the day that the Lord made the heavens and the earth, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any earth field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. See, man was not formed yet, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. So this is the second thing that happened. See, first he created male and female, right? Spiritually.
Right.
Then he formed us from the dust of the ground here in verse 7 of chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And then this is the part I want to get to, though. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, right? We became living beings after God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we had a living soul, a nefesh kai. We had a conscience. And then it says, so he created us as spirit first, then formed us of the dust of the ground, then breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became living beings, right? Now, I want this to be what causes us to transition to this scripture that is going to show us what you were saying from the beginning, that there are no shortcuts, right? And we have to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 for that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, and it's speaking of the man of God and the word of God, it says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Iconium and Antioch and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So there are no shortcuts here. Yes.
Right.
And all who desire to live godly in Jesus will suffer persecution, right? But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Then here, look at what it says in 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, I want to stop there real quick so that you can get that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is literally saying that the word is God-breathed. The Greek word there is theopneustos. It's God-breathed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, profitable for correction, profitable for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, right? Now, remember what we were saying before about us, what is it, being, we were in Romans 8, right? It says that God causes all things to work together for our good because we were called according to his purpose, right? For every good work. And that's the thing, is God causes the good, the great, the bad, and the ugly to work together for our good because he's the one who causes all of that to work together for our good, just like we saw Paul saying, hey, I endured all these persecutions at these different places. All these things I endured, but he didn't endure them thinking this wasn't a part of the deal. He understood. And then we know that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, the God-breathed word. And that's what that that Greek word, theopneustos, means. So just like God breathed into our physical body that he formed as the dust of the earth after he created our spirit in us before that, the final thing he did was breathe life into our nostrils, and we had consciousness. We had a soul. We were alive, right? And then here, when he breathed his word, he gave us his consciousness. He gave us his word. We literally had the truth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is the God-breathed word. So when we allow it to be profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know that verse in Matthew 6 where he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added? That's what this is. The word of God is the righteousness of God. And when we look at that and we are seeking the kingdom of God, all these things come to us, and that's not a shortcut, the cut, because it requires us to share in the sufferings and the persecutions of Jesus Christ, because we're going to share in the glory also, right? So I just wanted to really just encourage you that you are on the absolute right path. And when we are telling people there is no shortcut with God, that's the truth. But people don't want to hear that. But when people want to get money, when people want to get fame, when people want to hear their name over and over and over and over, when people want to be the one whose name is mentioned more than Jesus Christ is mentioned, you're going to sell shortcuts every day, but you're going to be selling a lie and not the God-breathed word. And so when we get back to the scripture and we allow the scripture to be the meat, and that's what Jesus Christ did, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. When we get back to that, we know that we are going to be in that place of favor and power and purpose by design as you put forth. So I just wanted to thank you for taking the time to do this teaching today, and I'm going to hand it all the way back over to you, man of God.
Yes, sir. I thank God for that, because one thing that you brought out, and I had it here in my notes, Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. When we talk about purpose by design, when we look at when we look at the concept of this topic, the concept is purpose. The instruction is design. God designed it, but we just got to follow. We got to follow the design. It's just, and Bishop Carver, you can attest to this, because you're an architect. And when somebody comes to you, and you can quote me if I'm wrong, since your expertise in that, when somebody comes to an architect and they have blueprints drawn up, if they go against what those blueprints are, that building that is being built will not have a sure foundation, correct?
True.
So this is, as you said, the word of God. The word of God is the blueprint for our purpose.
Amen.
The Word of God is our blueprint. If we don't follow this blueprint that God has, or this spiritual blueprint that God has for our life, we won't have a foundation in this world, and we won't have a foundation in the spiritual either, which means we will not see heaven. Because at the end of the day, all of this stuff means nothing. But the main thing, and as my former pastor used to say, keep the main thing. Pastor Dorothy McGordon, she used to say it all the time, keep the main thing the main thing. And we're going to keep the main thing today. The main thing is not for us to live down here. Because this place, this world, is not our home. But the main objective, if we're keeping the main thing, the main objective is for us to make it to heaven.
Amen.
And the only way that we get to heaven is that we follow this blueprint. In the Bible, if you look at the word Bible, I thank you, Lord. If you look at the word Bible, and any Bible scholars that know, old school Bible scholars, you know what the word Bible means. Basic instructions before leaving earth. This is the basic instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ before leaving earth. This is not our home. This is not our home. Yes, I want the things of this world, and yes, these things of this world might look good to you, and it might seem good to you. And yes, it's good to prosper in this life. But the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Your soul is the most important thing that you could ever have in this life. Your soul. And look, he wants you to prosper in the natural, but he also wants you to prosper more in the spiritual than the natural, because if you prosper in the spiritual, you'll prosper in the natural. That's why we can go back to Romans 8 and 28. If you prosper in the spiritual, then you know for a surety that you'll prosper in the natural. Watch this. In 3 John 1 and 2. It reads in verse number 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy what? Soul prospereth." So he wants you to prosper in this life. But the only way that you can prosper in this life is that you prosper spiritually. Because if you're dead spiritually, if a person is dead spiritually, there's nothing in this world that can bring them back. Earthly. There is nothing in this world that can bring you to where God wants you to be spiritually, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. So you can prosper, and that's why the Bible lets us know. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing that you can give in exchange for your soul. There's nothing. And there is no shortcut. I know we talked to the men last night, but I'm talking to everybody today. Man, woman, boy, and girl. There is no shortcut in this life. Because God did not give a shortcut. There's only one way. The Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's only one way. There's many roads. But there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. But he said, "I am the door. You got to come to him." That's why when Bishop Carver said in Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that's what you got to do. And all these other things will fall into place. Everything that's why I said, if you go in and start seeking the Lord for your spiritual, God will work out the things in the natural. I promise you. That's why, and matter of fact, we have to contend in God. In Jude verse number 3, it says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. That term, it said it was needful. What was it? Why was it needful? It was needful for your soul. It was needful for you to come unto salvation. The Lord is more concerned about your soul than anything else. Yes?
That's amen.
The Lord is concerned about man's souls. And I know we were talking to the men last night, and I know we were talking about all of this stuff and about taking shortcuts and all this stuff. There is no shortcut when it comes to your soul. Don't try to take no shortcuts. Nothing will bring you life like Jesus can, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Preach.
In me you'll find life. In everything else, look, we have a major problem in this world today. People are trying to live life, and they're looking for life in all the wrong places.
Amen.
They're looking for life. Young people looking for life in all the wrong places. They looking for life in over here. They looking for life over there. They looking for life. You can't find life like that. The thing that you're going to find when you look for life in all the wrong places, you're going to do two things. You're going to end up messing yourself up, and you're going to end up being unstable.
Amen.
Because you don't know where to go. Because you're one minute, your mind over here, next minute, your mind over there. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Preach.
You're unstable. We are unstable. Even in the body of Christ, some of us are unstable. Some of us are unstable.
Amen.
And why are we so unstable when we say we got the Holy Ghost? We say we have salvation. Do we really lean and depend on the salvation that we say we have? That's where the power comes in. Do we really lean on the power of God like we say we do? Do we really understand the power of God like we say we do? Because if we did, we would not come off. We would be like Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church. What? He had a sure foundation. He knew who God was. That's why God told him that.
Amen.
He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. Which means the natural did not reveal this unto you, but it was the spirit that revealed this unto you. Who do man say that I am? He said, you are God. You are God Almighty. And I'm paraphrasing, y'all. You are God Almighty. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but because of the spirit of God, because of the spiritual side of Peter, the spiritual side, his spiritual eyes were open, and he was able to say, you're God. And that's why he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's why we were able to say, when God is in it, can't no devil from the pit of hell stop you, naturally or spiritually. But when you kick God out of stuff, when you kick God out of your life or out of whatever you're trying to do, you got controversy and you got chaos going on. You're going to have controversy and you're going to have chaos. I guarantee you. The world is trying to kick God out of everything. They done started with the schools. Now they starting up in the government system. Now you can't have the they got rid of prayer out of school. Well, they didn't really get prayer out of schools. They thought they did because when I went to school, I was still praying. So therefore, they didn't kick out the prayer out of me. And we still
Amen.
Had saints. I grew up with saints that I went to school with that was praying. So they really didn't kick prayer out of schools. They just think they did. They just thought that they did. You just can't openly pray. Well, guess what? You ain't kicked prayer out of, and I'm here to tell the government system, if you listening today, you ain't kicked prayer out of schools. You know why? Because the blood covers my children. The blood covers. The blood still works. And where I, the Bible says, where I see the blood, I will pass over thee. He told Moses to put the blood over the doorpost. And where I see the blood, I'll pass over thee.
Amen.
When you plead the blood of Jesus, whatever you plead the blood of Jesus, and this is not, this is out of the norm now. I'm moving with the Spirit of God now. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but you need to plead the blood. We need to plead the blood of Jesus because there is something getting ready to happen. There is something getting ready to happen. And we need to pray more than ever. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't be seeking all the money and the fame and the fortune because that ain't going to help you. That ain't going to help me. That ain't going to help. That's not going to help us. That is not going to help us in this time of need. It's not. Yes, people can say my name all day. That don't mean a hill of a bean if I ain't got Jesus.
Preach.
You got a lot of people bragging on you and talking about how good you are, and you better check yourself. If don't nobody say nothing bad about you, you better check yourself.
Tell them.
You better check yourself. If everybody talking good, and I'm going to use me, if everybody talking good about me, then there's a problem. Nobody has nothing bad to say about me. But you just, and if they do say something bad about you, you just make sure that they telling a lie. Make them out of a lie. But everybody, what I mean by that is somebody, if everybody like me, that's why when I was younger, I wanted everybody to like me. Everybody to like me. But everybody ain't going to like you. Everybody ain't going to stand for what you stand for. Because everybody didn't stand with Jesus.
Amen.
Purpose by design. Everybody did not stand with Jesus. Just like people ain't standing for him now. People walking away. The Bible says that there's going to be a great falling away. And that great falling away, that prophecy in that Bible, the prophecy in the Bible that says that there's going to be a great falling away, it's already happening. It's been to happen. There's still people falling away. Once were beautifully saved, and now they're walking away. For what? What are you walking away to? Where are you going? Where are you going? I ask my children that sometimes. When we're out in public, and they want to, you know, when we go to the mall or something like that, and they ready to go to the arcade or whatever, and they trying to rush me and they mother trying to get to where they're going, and we have to stop them like, where are you going? Well, I was going over. No, it ain't time to go over there yet. Where are you going? It's time for us to see, to search ourselves. And this is out of the lesson now. I'm sorry. It's time for us to search ourselves as the body of Christ because it's time to go home. It's almost time to get out of here. It's almost, you got to make your calling and election sure. You better make your calling and election sure. Because those that have not made their calling and election sure, I'm just going to be honest. If the Lord comes back, I ain't even going to say if, because the Lord is coming back. When the Lord comes back, if those people that have not made their calling and election sure, for God I live and for God I die and living holy, hell is where you're going to open up your eyes. Hell will be their final destination. I'm sorry to say it like that, but it's the truth. And it's the truth that's going to set us free. If we live in any kind of way, that's what separates us from our purpose. That's what separates us from the destiny that God has designed. That's the reason why this world is in chaos, because we want to do it our way. We don't want to do it God's way. And God's way is the best way to go. I remember
Amen.
I was watching this show, this documentary, and it was about this wrestler named, well, ex-wrestler named Ric Flair. Everybody know who Ric Flair is. And when he was wrestling, he used to have a group called the Four Horsemen. And anybody that's a wrestling fan, you know what I'm talking about. And when he had that group, he used to say this slogan right here. He used to say this quote all the time around them. He said, "We're the best thing going today." Well, guess what? I'm here to tell you. Jesus is the best thing going today.
Amen.
And if you don't, and if you and I do not fall in line, see, everybody wants to tell God what, how to do things. God, I feel like it's this way. No, it ain't how you feel. It ain't how you feel. This is not a democracy. When it comes to the will of God, it is not a democracy. This is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship. It should be. Now, God will let you go on and live your life the way you want to live it, because God's not going to force himself upon nobody. Now, let me clear that up, okay? God's not going to force himself on you, but when you come into Christ, when you come on the Lord's side, it is no longer a democracy. It is a dictatorship. And what I mean by dictatorship, it's a good dictatorship. It's not a bad one, because we done seen some dictators in history be, I mean, they whoa, Jesus. Good God Almighty. But I'm not talking about a dictatorship based off, well, you know, you're gonna be hurt. The reverencing of God, the reverencing of his presence, the reverencing of his anointing, the reverence of his glory. That it becomes a dictatorship when you get in a relationship with God because you love his presence. Because the love for him, that you honor him so much that you're willing to give up the things that you would want to do with your life. That's
Amen.
Why Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by what? The mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." Not unto man, not unto yourself, not unto your flesh, not unto the world's agenda, but unto God's agenda. That you present your body as a living sacrifice, what? Holy and acceptable unto God. And look, at the end of that, it says, this is just your reasonable service.
Amen.
That's just your reasonable service. That's the least, basically he's saying, that's the least that you could do for me. Above all else, that's the least that you could do, is give me your life. Give me your life. A life for life. That's why Jesus died. A life for life. Because of the fall of Adam, our life was tainted with sin, which means our life was jacked up, Everybody that came into this world after Adam, their life was jacked up. Believe it or not, when you came into this world, you were a baby sinner. And you were cute and cuddly and everything and smiling and everything. You was a smiling sinner that needed to be set free from sin. Now, as a baby being born, you did nothing wrong. And I'm talking to the sinner man now. You did nothing wrong. You just had to be born. You knew nothing about sin because you were a baby. But guess what? The Bible says you got to be born again of the water and the spirit. You got to be born again because he has a life for you. He has life and life more abundantly for you. As it's recorded in John chapter 10, verse 10. And guess what? I'm going to read that. I'm going to read it because I want you to see something. I want you to see God's agenda for your life, well, since we're talking about purpose. And I want you to see the devil's agenda for your life. There's two agendas. But you might say, well, I thought you said there was four agendas. Well, the three agendas come out of the devil's agenda for your life. Amen?
Amen.
The reason why I say that, our flesh wants to please, wants to be pleased by the things of the world. You as a human being, your flesh and your spirit man war against itself. Why do you think the Bible lets us know that if you keep your mind, he'll keep your mind in perfect peace, his mind is stayed upon him? Why is that scripture there for? Why is the scripture in the Bible for? Because every battle that we have that happens with our flesh, it starts in our mind. That's why the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When God renews your mind, he gives you the mind of Christ to be able to please the spirit side of you, not the flesh side of you, because your flesh wants to do the things that the world wants to do, but your spirit man wants to do the things of God. That's why they war against each other. Purpose by design. Why? How do we know? Adam did it. Adam was moved in his flesh when he ate of that tree. He was moved in the flesh. He was moved by his flesh. He listened to his flesh. And I'm not talking about skin and bone. I'm talking about mental capacity. His mind was not focused on the thing it should have been focused on. He let the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life get to him. These
Amen.
Are the three areas that the devil works in. These are the only three areas that the devil can work in to get to you and anybody else. Purpose by design. When he saw, his eyes looked at that fruit and saw, oh, that fruit is good. That looked good to me. But everything that looked good to us ain't always good for us. But we gotta get in alignment with God so that we will understand what God wants to take us. That's why when Bishop Carver said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We got to seek him first. And watch this. I wanted to go through these scriptures because we got enough time to go through a couple of them. But I want to go through these scriptures.
let's go to, we just read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is those things? Those earthly things? Yeah, earthly things are in there. Is it talking about the spiritual things? Yes, it's talking about the spiritual things. But it's also talking about those earthly things. Because in verse 32, it says, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. And it didn't give a specific on what he knows that you have need of. He was talking about both, earthly and spiritually. But when you seek the kingdom of God, your spirit man has already been taken care of. Why? Because you sought the Lord first. Your spirit sought the Lord first. You sought the Lord. Now watch this. When we seek God, this is what will happen. This is what will happen. Let's go to Psalms. Man, this is good. This is this boy. Oh my God. Now, I wasn't gonna get deep into this, but the Lord done took this a different way. Let's go to Psalms. I think I want to go to Psalms 20. Hold on. Psalms. I know it's in the book of Psalms. Yeah, Psalms 91. Let's go to Psalms 91. This is what will happen when we seek God first. When we seek God first, this is what will happen. Psalms 91, beginning at the first verse. And it reads, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisy pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flyeth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A ten thousand shall fall at thy side. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, I'm sorry. And 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. This is what will happen when we start seeking God. When we start getting in that path of where he is purposed for us to be at. When we start seeking God's purpose, this is what will happen. Now watch this. Let's go over to Psalms. Let's go to Psalms 23. Thank you, Lord. Because I want to show you this. This is what we do. This is what we get when we allow the Lord to lead us. This is what we get. And everybody knows Psalms 23. Very familiar passage of scripture. Watch this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, I like this verse because Bishop Carver brought out this verse beautifully. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy. This is the end of it. This is what will follow you when you get into the presence of God, when you start seeking him.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you dwell in him, he will dwell with you. If you dwell with him, he said, if you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. If you learn how to go through and not walk away, not saying, well, I'm done with that. The Lord is not moving. I'm gonna go my own way. I'm gonna find my own way. That's taking a shortcut. Don't do it.
Preach.
I'm telling you now. We told the men last night about not taking shortcuts. We're telling you today, don't take no shortcuts in your life. Amen. Don't take the shortcut. Because guess what? Guess what shortcuts will get you? Guess what? The devil leads you down the shortcut road. And God will lead you down the plain path. But the two differences between the pathways, the different pathways are the devil's pathway leads toward destruction. God's pathways leads to life. Watch this. I want you to look, and I want us to read John chapter 10, verse 10, because I'm about to show y'all, and we're getting close to the end here. But I want to show you this before we go. John chapter 10, verse 10. I'm about to show you the devil's pathway for your life, agenda for your life, and I'm going to show you God's pathway for your life. John chapter 10, verse number 10. And it reads, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come. This is Jesus. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. What is that more abundantly? That is not just talking about in the natural. That's talking about the spiritual too.
Amen.
That's why we read in 3 John. Third John 1 and 2. He wants you to prosper as your what? Soul prosper. But if you're not prospering in the spiritual, which is your soul prospering, you're not getting nowhere. But if we take if we start saying, well, I'm going to do it my way, and we start moving in our flesh, guess what? There's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. Death and destruction. The devil wants you to go down your own way. The devil wants you to go his way. Why? We just read it. Because his road leads to him stealing from you. He steals your joy. He steals your peace. He tries to steal your sanctification. And then he kills you. There's an old R&B song. Back in the day, it was, I believe it was by Lauryn Hill. And she was singing about a man, about her being killed softly. I'm not even talking about that. When the devil kills, he kills you slowly. He starts showing you the ways of him. And it looks good. Just like that fruit looked good to Adam. Just like that fruit looked good when that serpent was talking to Eve. It looked good. But I call the devil a con artist. I call the devil a con artist. You might say, well, why are you calling the devil a con artist? Because, you know, the person that painted the 16th chapel, that painting looked good. But I got a saying. I have a little quote that I used to say in my art class in high school. The painting might look good, but the artist might be crazy. The painting looked good. What do you mean? One of the greatest comedians, and I like using this as an example, one of the greatest comedians that was out there. Looked like he can make anybody laugh, Robin Williams. And you would think that, hey, if, you know, he's making everybody laugh, he must have the best life. But guess what? He went through depression. And it ended up taking his life. He ended up taking his own life because of the state of depression that he was in. That's why I said, the painting might look good, but the artist might be crazy. What the devil had, and when I said all that to say this, what the devil has for us, has it painted up real good. But at the end, he does not show you the destruction that waits for you on the other side of that, on the other side of that, what looks like bliss, that fame, that fortune. There's no wrong, there's no problem with, you know, having a name. There's nothing wrong with that. Because he said that your gift will make room for itself, that he'll, you know, he'll take your gift and put you before great men and stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with having a name. But when your name goes above God's agenda for your life, then that brings the problem. And that's all that we're saying today. You are God designed your purpose. Purpose by design. He designed your purpose already before you was ever created. And I preached a sermon one time, your life is not your own. And since I got these last couple of minutes, I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to give the altar call today, right now, because that's where the Lord is leading me to do it. Because I'm done. But if you are not saved, if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you today, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to be able to live this life and make it. You need the Holy Ghost to make it in this life. Because all of this destruction that's going on, you step out your door without the Holy Ghost, it is dangerous. It's even dangerous to even stay in your own house without the Holy Ghost. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to walk down the street. I hate it when people say, well, I don't need God. Why? Why not? I hate it when people say, well, I got my protection, and they got a gun on their hip. I got my protection. You don't need that. That protection, that's not protection. The blood of Jesus protects me.
Amen.
Do you not? I've witnessed it. I've been in danger. I have literally been in danger. And I'm saying this as a testimony. And I'm saying this to everybody that'll listen to it. I have literally been in the middle of a robbery. Did I stand up and say, the blood of Jesus, don't you come? No, I didn't do all that now. I ain't crazy. But when I was working in retail, a man came in there and robbed our store. And he came at my register too. And the man came. And he put his hand in my register, took the money out, and I got nervous. He didn't scare me, but it startled me. And I guess when I jumped back, he got nervous and started trying to come around the cash register on me. He was coming to get me. And he said he had a gun. But as soon as he was coming around the thing, I pleaded the blood of Jesus. Something says, say the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I knew where it came from because my intention was not to say the blood of Jesus. My intention was to run the other way. And that's what I was doing. I was backing up to run the other way. But he was coming around the thing, and the first words I said, the blood of Jesus. And I said it so loud, my boss heard me. And the man looked at me as he was coming around the cash register, and he ran out of the store. And I told my boss, and I told the police officer. When they got there, they said, well, we saw it on tape. This man coming around on you, what made him run out of the store? He was getting ready to come and attack you. What made him? I said, sir. He said, did you try to do something to him or anything? I said, no, you could look at the tape. I didn't try to do anything to him. That man was big. That man was like 6 feet tall. Now, what my little self going to do to this man? I said, I pleaded the blood of Jesus. I said, and the officer said, you said what? I said, I said the blood of Jesus. And the man looked at me and ran out the door. That's how powerful the blood is. And that's what will wash away your sin. If it's powerful enough to keep me in the middle of a robbery, it's powerful enough to save you and wash you whiter than snow. So today, I call anybody. I make that call for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been commissioned by Jesus Christ to make this call unto you today. If you are not saved, if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, as they did on the day of Pentecost, I call you today to come unto salvation. Because that is the thing that's going to save you. That is the thing that is going to keep you. That is the thing that is going to make sure that you have an eternal, that your eternity lies in heaven. That's the thing that's going to make sure that you get to your destination. Naturally and spiritually. You want success in life? Get with Jesus.
Amen.
Make sure. Get with Jesus. You want success in your career? Get with Jesus. You want, and you don't believe me? In these last few minutes, I'm gonna say this: you don't believe me that God will, if you lean into the things of God, that God won't make you a success story. You listening to one right now? You listening to both of
them. Amen.
Bishop Carver is an architect. That's a man of God right there, all because he chose to do it God's way. God has blessed him in his career and gave him the desires of his heart. The same with me. I had a teacher tell me back in high school, I did not have the voice to do radio. This was a dream of mine. Now, I never thought that I would be doing this because I had a teacher tell me that I could not do this. And I saw this man after I graduated, and he was shocked beyond measure. I saw this man, three, maybe four or five years ago now, since we're in 2023, about 5 years ago. I went to a school function at Ben Davis High School, and I was around these students, and I was talking to these students about what I've done since I've been out of high school, and I told them. And this man was sitting in the back of that room, and I told these children, you can do anything with God. And I sure did. I ministered too. I sure did, because I saw souls. I ain't see people. I saw souls. And I said, you can do anything with the Lord Jesus Christ, not knowing that that man was in the back of that room. And I told him, I said, the Lord blessed me to be able to have two radio shows in 1 week. I'm an owner of one, and I do one on the weekend.
Amen.
And that man looked at me, and I looked back at him, and I recognized him. And I said, yep. The Lord blessed me. And after the end of that meeting, he came to me. He said, you do two radio shows? Yes, by the help of the Lord. I said, I own one, And I got another one that the Lord blessed me with. And I you know what? The Lord will, and you know what? The Lord will even help you deal with your enemy, the ones that the naysayers. Because I told him, I thank you. I thank you for telling me that I could not do it. I thank you. Because I started thanking him. He said, what are you thanking me for? I said, I thank you because you gave me the determination to go forth in it. Because God brought that back to my remembrance to when you said that to me. And now look, you can hear me on Blog Talk Radio. You can hear me. And I'm not gloating on myself. I'm bragging on God now. That's where that power comes in at. You can hear my voice every Monday and every Saturday on the Spirit Alive Network, on Spotify, on iHeartRadio. I was telling this man. And this man did not believe me, and he looked me up on Spotify and everything, and he saw my name there, and he was listening to one of my, and now this man listens to the shows now.
Preach.
That's why God said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You got to have your enemies there. He'll teach you how to deal with your enemies. He'll teach you how to deal with the naysayers, the haters of your life. You ain't got to look, people that hate on you, you ain't got to hate on them back. You ain't got to say a word. Just let God move in your life. Get in the proper place, purpose by design. Get to where you need to be in God and let God do the rest. And watch them people, watch those haters. They'll be mortified, just like they were with Jesus. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were astonished by what God's intellect, even though he was God. But in their flesh, they were like, wait a minute, this is just like a normal man, even though he wasn't normal. And you're not normal either. When you get in the Spirit of God, you are not normal. You are not normal. You are not of this world, which makes you not normal. You are of a new creature. You are of a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. You're peculiar. But you got to get in him to be that royal priesthood. I love you. I thank God for each and every one of you. Bishop Carver, thank you for coming. Thank you. And I thank, and I'm going to say, I want to say this publicly. I thank Bishop Carver because you gave me something to look at about my own life. And I thank you for that, Bishop. Thank you.
My pleasure, man of God.
I thank you for the teaching on last night because it led to this in Jesus' name because I was asking God all week long, what should I say? What should I do? And the Lord gave me not an ounce of words. Like, he didn't say nothing until I got on the show yesterday. So I thank you. God bless you all.
Devil in the hood today.
Right? God bless you all. I love you. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit of Life.